It's time for Let's Go, the quarterly anime podcast about seasonal anime. So come along and hang with the Let's Go gang. Dwayne.
Hey, how's it going?
Niall.
Hello.
And me, it's Brian. And first up, we're going to talk about the shows we watched this summer and what we thought of them. Let's start with a thing which gives our podcast its name. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Part 4, Diamond is Unbreakable, the second third. Which, as of recording, we're exactly two-thirds of the way through now.
Alright.
So, are we enjoying it so far?
Yes.
Are we enjoying it more than Stardust Crusaders?
See, I feel like that's kind of mean to say, but I think it might be the best JoJo's ever.
It's doing different things. I like what the different thing
is. That's fair. Yeah.
I think it opened really strongly, and there's lots of stuff which dazzled us in the first third in terms of visual. I'm not sure I'm seeing so much of that in the second third, or maybe I've gotten used to it that I'm not noticing it so much.
I mean, they could be waiting on it for the good shit later on. No, you could be right there.
Yeah, it's just like, because it's not one long journey. It's like, no, there's more like a closed environment where characters are running into each other like more than once. And we're seeing, how would this guy interact with this person? Or these strange things that get involved into. So seeing, I guess, there's more scope there for different interactions and relationships to develop. There's something you couldn't do with Stardust Crusaders, as much as you kind of got to know the guys, along the course of their journey. At times you felt like you didn't really totally know them. And certainly anybody that came across, like, let's say that week or this week's villain, they're in and they're gone as soon as they're defeated and then they're out of the picture. But guys can keep occurring like this. Even guys who were, let's say the villain of the current arc, whatever it is, can just still be hanging around town because they still live there. So they're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah. I think Stardust Crusaders would have been improved a lot if you could have seen like Paul Nerf's domestic life, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like in those kind of situations that you can do different kinds of stories and different kinds of humor. So, I'm enjoying it more for a lot of those reasons. Not that fucking Stardust wasn't amazing.
Yeah. It's also as well just seeing the mundanity of
some of the problems.
Amazing powers, you know, something that can like conjure like a bird of fire that can like, you know, make flames that can melt steel. But what if he had to, go to the bank to try and fool them into giving them money? Like, how does powers figure in that way, for instance?
Next on the list, Shonen Ishibe Go Go Gomachan, which feels like it's barely been on this summer because it's barely been on this summer due to the Olympics.
Well, from before the break, like, I remember really enjoying the show overall, but yeah, it's kind of like, wait, we're watching this again. Okay. Trying to get back into it.
Slowly but surely. Better late than never.
Yeah. I think it hit its stride once it introduced the majority of the characters that are in the opening credits.
Yeah. When it doesn't have to go like, and here's that character who you saw. Yeah.
Though, since then, it has then introduced a whole bunch of other characters in the form of the parents of all the kids. But,
But most importantly, we got around to seeing Sugao-kun and how he's getting on with this yogi guy and the yeti in the, that godforsaken country he's been forced to be moved to.
The other thing is absence forced us to watch Bono Bono.
I'm glad we gave it a second shot because that didn't start very strong. And I was kind of like, I'm not really into this, but over time, I'm into it now.
Because unlike Gomachan, which just took its time introducing all the characters, Bono Bono just threw you into the sea with this otter. And you just have to learn the characters as it goes along.
It does tend to do like one character, new character in episode for a bit, and then it kind of just goes, they'll show up now and again, don't worry about it.
Well, there's a character who has not been given a name yet.
That's true, actually, yeah.
The Fennel Fox.
I think like some of it was, this is its own special brand of strangeness, and this need maybe need a little bit of time to get acclimatized to that, and you'll get a bit of a better feel for what it's trying to do.
Or maybe the audience is already familiar with the characters.
That's it as well. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Because, like you said, there's been a few different versions of the series,
and I don't know how often those are repeated. So it's entirely possible that everyone knows who all these characters are. What's your problem?
But as well, you know, I think it's fine if they're able to kind of pick up the gist of what they're about from just an episode or two. That's fine.
And on the short animal front, I think I'm the only one who's been watching this, is Aggressive Retsuko, which is the continuing Sanrio 1 minute shorts, which you have to watch through the evil powers of the internet.
Yeah, that's the only thing that's put me off at, like, the lack of officialness.
Yes, because it's they're like literally a minute long. And I think the second half's been better than the first half.
Okay.
But it is pretty much generally the same format every time, in that Retsuko tries to do something, one of her colleagues is either unappreciative, ignoring her, taking credit, dude, basically just making her angry, and then she'll fly into some death metal song about her feelings. And then there'll be like a cute little image of her saying something like, "I'm ready to go to work again tomorrow, all happy again."
it's not good to keep all that bottled up inside yourself.
Yeah, I think she is all bottled up there. I don't think she's actually singing these death metal songs around people.
Yeah, but just leave it at work. Don't bring it home, you know?
Next up, the thing we were all excited about, or Berserk.
It was certainly tempered excitement when we said forestalled judgment until we actually saw it.
So I'm now must be of the inclusion. My conclusion is that Miura loves Idolmaster so much that he thinks shitty CG is the perfect aesthetic for his comic.
Right.
Yeah, that's entirely feasible.
I've dipped my head in it now just to see what it was doing at times, not watching the full episode, but I think some people, a lot of people are in denial. They'll take any Berserk in any form that they can get.
Well, I mean, like, if you're waiting that long, I think that's an understandable position to take, you know? Mm. It's just like, fucking hell, I just want to finish this fucking story.
my people I've seen online going from saying, yeah, like, once you get past it, it looks like absolute shit, you know? It's very okay.
I saw a good comparison video from the CG they used in the PS2 game to the one they used in this. And it was like, yeah, that PS2 game, if you could watch a Let's Play of it, you might be good. Something like that. And I was like, holy shit, that's not good.
It really feels like they didn't want to pay what they paid to make the movies.
Yeah.
They've just done it on the cheap, different studio.
See, that's the thing. Like, CG can look fucking great, but they're obviously doing it on the cheapest fucking end of it. Yeah.
I mean, the movie doesn't look that great either, but it looks a hell of a lot better than the TV show does.
Yeah.
We dipped our feet into Love, Life, Sunshine at the start, and I enjoyed the first episode, but I've not watched any more since then.
Yeah, I kept meaning to try and pick it up, because I even gave Berserk a fucking chance at the second episode. I should probably watch the second and see if it improves a little. It's okay, but not really my thing. I should probably watch more of it.
Like, it's fine. It's not going to get me into the franchise as a whole. That's fine. I'm okay.
Yeah. From people I know who followed the franchise, they don't seem to be as hot on this as I was, as somebody who didn't like the franchise.
It's a good jumping on point for newbies, but not
possibly, yeah.
Well, they'd be far more judging of it, because they've seen what's come before. They know what to look out for.
These are all new characters they're comparing to their favorites, you see. So.
Right.
Whereas I think the thing of me liking the fact they introduced all the weirdos a lot earlier than they did in the original series is possibly something that they didn't like.
Okay.
Cute High Earth Defense Club Love, second season. I watched the first episode of this. There's a lot more bottoms than I remember there being in the first season.
So was that an improvement, or?
It was pretty much the same otherwise. They just had to make an excuse to write out the villains from the first season in the first episode, and then introduce some new villains. But I have no idea where the story is going. I suspect it might be going in a very similar direction to the first season, i.e. nowhere slowly. then 91 Days, which we have been watching weekly for the podcast. Take it away.
It's good. It's good.
It sure. Sits on the animation a lot, but yeah, it's really good. It's quite engaging.
I think, like, the fun thing about it, okay, sure, this is like, you know, it seems to be outside of one, why are you doing this fairly standard seeming, like, mafia thriller? in an animated format, like what's it going to do for? But the point of anime isn't that, you know, it's the point of anime isn't that, you know, if one, oh, well, if you do it animated, you can just, do more fantastical, crazy things that happen, giant robots and shit like that. And, but the more point of it is, I guess, is that the medium itself, it can create a kind of different kind of move. This, this seems like though, when I started out, that was going to be pretty, fairly straight, but there have been, just been moments throughout it and characters involved in it as well that remind you of one, yeah, this is an anime. And if this was done in all seriousness in a live action show, you'd laugh at our town. But because of the way it's been done in this medium, it fits in everything else. Yeah. Along with all of the very well written, like, dramas and plot twists and all stuff like that now, but also as things like a giant 7-foot tall Mexican hitman was hunting down two of the guys who were on the lam.
Yeah.
And I could fit in well with everything else. You know?
Yeah. I still think a Pacino could do Fango and it would still come off as anime as it is in the show and it would still work.
No, it's been really fucking good. It's like you say, it seems like something that should be so basic that it'd be just like, yeah, we're kind of bored with this now, but it does everything it does with exception when it drops in animation quality. It does the story like excellently and keeps you kind of hooked into it. Even when you can see, when you can predict something kind of happening down the line, it's a fun ride, you know?
Yeah, it's one of those shows where the direction's good even when the schedule's tight. You'll see where they've cut corners to, and obviously they completely failed at one point because we had a recap episode.
They're like, shit, what do we do?
And the other thing is, it made me think, okay, Taki Kishimoto, who I didn't like on Erased much, and, was the other one? No, it was the Joker game.
Oh, right.
Whereas, yeah, this feels much better than the scripts for that, possibly just because he's not having to adapt anything here.
The difference between adapting something and writing something for television, sure.
It's something like this that has a lot of kind of double crosses and, you know, and very, a lot of hands being played close to the chest. This would need to be very carefully planned out, so none of those seems like complete ass pulls that would put an audience off. I feel like he knows that. And probably from the nature of the two shows he's been well known for previously, which definitely involve a lot of double crosses and plot twists.
Well, actually, the show he's probably the most well known for is the one we haven't watched, which is Haikyuu.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I like backstabbing and drive-by shootings and that, but...
Maybe season 3. Next up, Mob Psycho 100, probably the gem of the season, I would say.
I think that's a fair estimate, yeah. It's been so consistently either just great or fucking gorgeous.
I think some of the expectation, a lot of it's been kind of been heaped at, and some people are being let down by it.
Like it's bizarre. They wanted One Punch Man, but what they've gotten is something that in its own way is just as good, if not better, you know?
Or in the opposite direction, they didn't want One Punch Man. And then when it introduced to the evil organization, they were like, why is this more like One Punch Man without realizing that it was going to do something weird with.
Yeah.
Said that's evil organization.
I wasn't sure what to really expect from this. I just knew from the off it was going to be an animation fucking showcase. That's fine by me. And I, as well knowing by the guy who wrote it now, I knew there would be probably some fairly probably sarcastic kind of commentary on Japanese society and as a whole. That's been directed more, maybe not more at adult society, but more like, you know, what kids go through in high school and so forth like that. And maybe they're not connecting on that front.
Yeah. Is there any an idea of how you handle power that you've got?
Because we see psychic powers and also what a rogue student council will do if they let them run amok by themselves. And that's probably a thing as well, because a lot of that shit happens in schools, problems happen with bullying and so forth, is because teachers are very hands-off in Japanese schools with how the kids kind of do their things. They don't really get involved with student council or student government and like that. And so the kids are kind of self-policing in that regard. So they have very bad kind of bullying. So I imagine it's saying something about that.
Hmm. And again, it's saying the similar thing of One Punch Man in terms of the metatextual kind of thing of it, that if you start your character at the strongest position, you can still tell a good story, you know? Which I do like, and it subverts those tropes, like you say, introducing an evil organization that is like, well, are they that good, really, though? It's like, yeah.
And are they that evil as well?
Yeah, that as well, when they humanize them after the fact.
Yes, which is, as I've said on previous episodes of Let's Go JoJo, is the thing which is kind of lacking in One Punch Man, in that the monsters are literally monsters for the most part so far. I think that might be going to change shortly in the redrawing adaptation.
Okay.
We shall see. Next up, we had Handakun, which I don't think any of us watched because I put it on the list for Anthony. So, yeah, idea. Bananya, the show to advertise plush cats dressed as bananas.
For the juice bar chain. Is that right?
Not sure.
I thought it was for a chain of smoothie bars.
I don't know. I don't know. It's not so clear as Secco Boys was.
It would make sense, you know, bananas, they go in smoothies all the time.
Yeah, but I thought it might be like pencil cases, because...
Right.
That wouldn't fight the uncomfortable implication, though, of, you know, are you putting bananas in the smoothies or bananas into the smoothies?
Yeah.
maybe they shouldn't do that.
Do not touch upon this at all in the anime, though.
No, it's like the ad on telly that it's not like your favorite thing when it comes on, but it's like, oh, I like this ad.
And the narrator is the best narrator.
Yeah, I mean, like, if it wasn't for him, like, we wouldn't even know what the fuck was going on most of the time. Yeah.
The hard-hitting expose about bananas could be in your house right now.
Look around you.
Open your eye.
It might be there. Psyche K, I think I'm the only one who's been keeping up on this.
I think you're the only one who's up on it, yeah. I only watched the first couple of them.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that Crunchyroll get it as part of the Funimation deal so I can watch it with some decent subtitles.
That's part of why I was having trouble watching it, because I had to put up with, first of all, that was an issue in and of itself, in the actual subs of it, but also getting
the loading,
getting the actual system to work. But now, if it's going to cross back over, then I might be able to dig into it again. Also, as well as I said before, I've only got room for at most 2 Psychic Boy shows per week, and this one just had to go. I'm sorry.
As I've said on the podcast before, I do confused about who's got what powers out of Mob. Because Psyche has a lot more powers than Mob does, and I'm often thinking, Mob, why didn't you just use that power? Oh, wait, hang on. No, that's the other guy.
I mean, like, I could probably get into it more if it wasn't for the, like, yeah, the problems you mentioned, Niall. So if it gets pulled over to Crunchyroll, I can see myself likely jumping back on.
Yeah. For those people who haven't been listening to Let's Go JoJo, the subtitle problems we speak of is the fact there's a lot of cross-talking in some episodes, not every episode, but because Funimation subtitles are only white, it makes it hard to tell whose conversation you're following.
Makes it hard to fucking read sometimes.
Yeah, and also they're not very well spaced out.
Yeah, exactly.
They just want to be spaced better, formatted in different colours, and it'd be so much easier to follow what's going on. Because you could just choose not to follow one of the conversations.
I'm pretty sure I've seen stack up like maybe 3 lines high. That's like the bottom third of the screen taken up with subtitles.
The worst one I've seen of lately is the episode where he's playing crappy video games, because he can read people's minds, he has to play video games nobody else is playing, so he always plays the shittiest video games available. And so there's like text, there's both like subtitles translating text on the screen, subtitles translating what the characters are saying in the game, and subtitles translating what Psyche's thinking about the game. It's like,
just read the manga.
See, I mean, like, and again, I've watched things like that, and haven't had as much trouble with it, even when there were bad subtitles. But in that fucking player, if you have to pause it to fucking to try and read something, it just shits itself. It was basically unwatchable, more so due to the technical errors rather than the show itself.
Then we had D. Gray Man Hello, which we realized we're out of our depth watching it.
It's not a jumping on point, guys.
So you said goodbye. There's a lot more stuff you gotta watch. Hello and goodbye.
I mean, it looked good, but
I'm not
watching that previous series, which apparently does not look as good as this one, to catch up on it. Show by Rock Short. Well, that was a mistake.
Because, I mean, like, from what you said from the regular Show by Rock, that doesn't... It didn't seem like a bad idea.
Yeah, it didn't seem... The regular Show by Rock, from what I've seen, is quite funny. This was not funny at all.
No.
In fact, the same jokes were done better in Secco Boys. Literally, that first episode. They parodied the exact same chat show.
That's true, actually.
I was the only one watching Maho Shoujo Naria Girls.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I know you were complaining about Haybot on the episode of Let's Go Jojo. I'm going to say Maho Shoujo Naria Girls is worse than Haybot.
What?
I'm nearly tempted to watch it just to fucking see out of morbid curiosity. Like, bloody hell.
Okay, it's another one of these ones like Good Good Fairies, where it's voice actresses improvising and then animated with MMD animation. Except these girls, they've got, or women, rather, girls in the title, play, they're not very good at improvising. They're not funny.
Okay, right.
And the animation is not good. Character design's not as amusing as Good A Good Fairies or Sega.
Hard Girls.
Hard Girls, yeah.
Hmm.
It's a bad show.
Oh dear.
In my opinion. I'd say worse than Haybot. That obviously humor's relative, so.
Sure.
Who knows? You may enjoy it. But yeah, it just made me want to go back and watch, more Peeping Life, which is obviously good improvised comedy.
Yeah.
Assumingly performed by people who are improv comedians rather than just voice actresses.
Well, you can tell they're comedians trying to make each other break is the difference there. Yeah.
I don't think any of us managed to watch Anara Goru, the show about the fart.
The helpful fart. Okay. Yeah.
Where was that? Where was it?
It was being fan subbed, I believe.
Okay.
Right.
I believe there are fan subs for it. Thunderbolt Fantasy, I was not a fan of, but you two were.
Well, we like puppets.
I mean, I like puppets. My love of puppets does not overcome my dislike of Gena Robocchi.
It's just such a nice thing to see that maybe there are better puppet shows than this, but it's just such a nice kind of glimpse into a kind of genre and stuff that we generally don't get to see over here, you know? There's just all this fucking artistry and acting and just design that goes into it that I wasn't aware of they were able to do that kind of thing. You know, it's like, I didn't know you could make badass puppet fight choreography. But you can. You really fucking can.
Yeah, there's kind of tricks in there if you know how to manipulate it in the editing. You know, you can make it look really good. And just like the puppets themselves, the modeling and the kind of the costuming and them is fucking... Say they spent half of the show's fucking budget and just getting these things kitted out and like all these gilt and jewels and bangles and things. It look wonderful.
Yeah. They're fabulous looking things. And, it's kind of like every now and again, I catch myself like laughing at a particular guy's gesture or something like that. And I realize, wait a minute, that's not a guy who acted. That was like a dude who has that hand on a stick. Kind of thing, you know? I kind of forget that it's really natural. Their arms are longer than a human's arms, but it's kind of naturalistic movement and it's quite enjoyable because of that.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah. And I feel like Urobuchi's like overwrought dialogue and spits in well with this wuxia, like fantasy tale. Guys, God delivered like these very dramatic lions about one. Why I have mastered the blade and why I must take your life and you must avenge you upon my family and so on and so forth.
I mean, those fit really well with the kind of show where every now and again a character will break into like a little sonnet about themselves.
In original like Chinese, like...
the script coming up, yeah. Well, oh, that's fucking wonderful. I love that.
Yeah. And as well, it's wonderful. I guess one of our main characters who is wandering vagabond who couldn't give a shit for all that pageantry. He's just kind of going along with this.
Yeah.
And the final thing I've got on my list of what we dipped our toes into was Orange, which I was not a fan of.
Like, I gave it another shot, but it was just too slow.
Yep, I still haven't given up reading that comic. Which I'm going to see how that happens, if it does happen at all.
Is that something Crunchyroll into the comic?
Yeah, I heard this be a faster way to consume that, and probably a more ideal way. I appreciated some of the craft work involved, but it's at a glacial pace that I will try my patience if I watch it week on week.
Hopefully you get the right thing when you click on it on the app. My Crunchyroll manga app told me the new chapter of Seven Deadly Sins is out, so I clicked on the message and then it gave me a chapter of Space Brothers. I was like, what?
Oh, give it an S.
I've got a lot more catching up to do in Space Brothers than I have in Seven Deadly Sins. anything else we missed from the summer that any of us watched? I think that's everything from me.
I think it is.
I'm
sure there's probably things we should have watched that people would say, why don't you check out Days? I think that's... Is that a big one? The football one?
That was... Was it that one that was from the same guy who did the comic of Erased? I think that was it, wasn't it? Or somebody from Erased was involved in that.
No. Right.
Same director? I don't know. There was some crossover there.
Oh, hang on. I did watch a bit of Sacred Rider Zex. That was not good.
Sorry, Scared Rider.
Scared, sorry, yes.
Scared. I don't know what it was.
It's like there's an umlaut on the R. How's that supposed to go? Scared Rider Zex, yeah. Not good.
Yeah, forget about it.
Didn't fulfill the hole that Concrete Revolution had left. Right, let's have a look at things we're going to watch one episode and give up on next season.
Says you.
Okay, sorry. I'm bringing this up and I'm going to put it in order of which they're supposedly coming out. Here we go.
I'm just going to see if I can quiet down that dog. Hang on. I think the neighbors are taking in their washing now.
Okay, can I just hear it? But
if it's not coming up, then
he's there, but the listener will be hard pressed to hear it.
Okay, that's fine then. Sorry,
later. It's like a game they can play listening to the podcast. Can you hear the dog?
Okay, sorry. Go on.
Spot the dog competition. Okay, first thing on my list is Time Bokan 24, starting October the 1st in Japan.
Yes.
This is the new Time Bokan series in the Time Bokan franchise. It's been given over to Level 5
to
try and get kids into robots again.
they've got you anyway.
They've got me, yes. But they didn't do a very good job of getting kids into robots with Gundam Age, so let's see if they can do any better with Time Bokan.
It looks really good.
Yes, it does. And it's the guy who writes Yo-Kai Watch doing the script writing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They got you.
That's got me, yes, exactly. That was the thing where I was like, okay, so look, that's what he's doing. Check that out. And director is anything I like that he's done? That is the question. Desert Punk. That might be it. Though, admittedly, I've not seen the other things he's done, so.
Okay.
There you go. So hopefully it'll be a lot of fun. It's got Shigeru Chiba shouting all over the trailer, and I think he's doing the narration, so.
He seems the kind of guy who would be the dude who's, he's not Boyaki, he's like Boyaki, but in the future. As in, he'd be the kind of the Weasley henchman in the Evil Gang.
Yeah, I don't think he is, though.
He seems a guy who would be. But...
yeah, but he's definitely doing full-blown Kyo Ryuga, Shigeru Chiba narration on the promo.
Where he's really into it.
Yes. Even more out of control than he used to be on Fist of the North Star. And, yeah, it's got loads of transforming beetles by the looks of things as the main robot.
Good.
And, nice charming Level 5 designs via Tatsunoko.
Yeah, it still has that Tatsunoko flavor, alright. Which is nice, because, you know, you'd be worried if it's like, we gotta get the kids into this, and it would lose all of that, that kind of old schoolness, you know?
Personally, I can't wait to get around to doing the reboot of Hurricane Polymer. Now that will be good.
Well, the guys who did the mechanical designs did the Hurricane Polymer mechanical designs.
Oh.
So it looks like they've got the guy from Yeah, they look like they've got the guy, apparently.
Well, they got the Gundam guy. Sure.
Yeah, the traditional Tatsunoko mecha designer. Next on my list that I've got is, which I didn't put on the item, but it might be worth mentioning, Shumatsu no Izeta. Izeta? The one which appears to be witches versus Nazis.
Yeah, it's like,
there's like two different World War One ones. And is this the one where the one's riding on a gun in the
That's
trailer?
That's the one, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. This is about World War II. The country's called Germania.
It's a totally different country. dear.
Yeah, it appears to be about a lesbian witch fighting Nazis riding around on a giant rifle.
I mean, that sounds amazing on your description, just there.
It's going to be like a broomstick type of job.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Like enchanted, an object that you can sit on is the magic or something.
And it has the advantage of coming out on October the 1st as being one of the first shows airing, so there's a good chance I'll watch the first episode of it.
They're bringing out a witch thing on October? That is good timing.
It is.
Fucking hell.
Well, they also got Strike Witches in the series of that. It's like that's true, reading your mind.
And Bloody Vols.
Oh, yeah. I might not down to mention this for the dumb name.
And that Ao Oni, the animation, the thing based on the... Is it like a puzzle trap mansion trap game?
The kind of key out there with the titular blue demon is quite unsettling.
It is. And that's the thing I may just check out because it's probably... Is it a short? Probably a short.
It would want to be a short, but it's sound of it.
Yeah. So you've got the witches fighting Nazis on October the 1st. You've got this Bloody Vols, which is some sort of vampire thing, also on October the 1st.
Yeah, it's like a Chinese-Japanese co-production.
Yeah, that wasn't on my list, but as we're mentioning, horror thing is in October. And yeah, Ao Oni, the animation, is October the 2nd. Also, on October the 2nd, Cheese Sweet Home, the CG remake, which I was like, oh, is it going to be the guy who did Lovely Muko? No, it's not. It's a special effects guy doing it. And the CG animation looks so much better than Berserk's.
Wow.
Yeah, it's so nice looking. I mean, like, it probably helps that they have mostly like the house set or maybe like a street set or something. But they've really put the effort in here and it shows, at least from the trailer.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of the Peanuts film that came out there a little while back, because it's not the kind of floaty kind of CG thing. It seems to be like a little bit of, it's CG, but it's kind of integrating some of the animation sort of movements within that. So it looks a lot less unnatural.
And it also feels like that they've done that limited CG animation where it almost looks like stop motion.
Yeah, where the character like moves between two frames
where they've, like,
for the purpose of comedy or whatever. Sure.
Picks the right frames to remove.
Like if Chi's legs are flailing about, the legs will be like just jittering on the screen in a good way.
In fact, this almost looks like this is designed for international sale.
It'll fucking get it if it looks as good as the trailer. Yeah.
Talking of cats, also on October the 2nd, Tiger Mask Double.
Yeah.
A show which, when you look at the people behind it, should not be making me that excited. But it is about wrestling and New Japan wrestling. It's got loads of New Japan wrestlers as characters.
Yes. They've also dug up most of like the talent from the old series who are somehow still alive to revoice the same characters in some cases.
They have a reggae cover of the original theme as the theme tune.
Like a lot of this, like from the trailer, it didn't really light my world on fire, but I'm like, Tiger Mask though, you know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's the director did, I think, the second season of Kaneki Man, Nice Nisei, is that how you say it?
The Kaneki Man 2 that was like, repackaged as Ultimate Muscle.
Yeah, that's the one.
Even, you know, I saw the repackaged version of that, you know, the script must have been for Western audiences, but I could see a lot of the merits in that. So I think this, if it's a bit anything at the high points of that, I think it'll be a winner.
Okay. But also, I believe, let me just get this, make sure I get this right. I think also did Avengers Discourse. More recently.
Hey, that might have been just for money.
Which was Toei as well.
Hmm. It's definitely something we're going to check out, I think.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Mm.
Oh yeah, I'll probably watch every episode, even if it's not very good. let's see what he's done. He's done, more recently he's done, Marvel Discourse, The Avengers, Yes Precure 5, again, Yes Precure 5 Go-Go. I don't know the quality of those particular Pretty Cures. And also Pretty Cure Splash Star. So it looks like a dyed-in-the-wool Toei guy, for the most part.
It's a lifer.
Oh, did unit director episode 1 of Air Master. So that's probably another good sign.
Oh, good.
Okay.
And I think when I was saying I wasn't super impressed with who's behind it, I think people were pointing out there's some good animators on board as well, though. Screenplay is by the guy who wrote such great things as Ease Otherwise.
That is the Zetman guy's titty manga, isn't it?
Ease Otherwise? No, I thought that isn't Ease Otherwise like the shitty X-Men one? Yeah, Ease Otherwise is shitty X-Men.
I'm thinking of Eyes, not Ease. Wrong letters.
Baby Steps, he did the series composition for that. Gambarish Shun might be the closest thing. That's the 90s gymnastics show that possibly only I'm aware of.
Clearly.
Rune Soldier.
Oh, yeah.
And 26 episodes of Shaman King. That's not a good point for him.
Well, were they good episodes or bad episodes?
I mean, I watched more than 26 episodes of Shaman King, but as long as they weren't the Lyserg episodes, though. That should be a Dynamite in the Brain top 5 at some point. Top 5 characters you make you go... next up, Niall, will you be watching second season of Mobile Suit Gundam Iron Blooded Orphans?
Seeing as I didn't finish the first season of it, probably not. Not that I was inherently disliking it, I just thought this doesn't seem crucial to me at this moment in time. So. Hey,
I'm in the same boat with Show by Rock Hash, which is apparently the second season of Show by Rock. It may also have an extra exclamation mark. I can't remember how many of the original series had. Then we got Monster Hunter Stories Ride On, which I don't know the trailer because apparently it's not available in my country.
Really?
No. I thought when I looked at the key art there, I thought there was some Toyama designs, and I thought, oh, that'd be cool, but then I got closer and it was not the case.
No. It's the guy, directed by the guy who did IGPX. I think that's probably the most more recently World Trigger, so that's less of a good sign.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. See, I watched the trailer for it, but then I also made the mistake of watching the trailer for the DS game. And the DS game looks pretty good. I might get that, but, the animation had a lot choppier frame rate, of the CG monsters and stuff.
And this is been licensed by Funimation and David Production of JoJo's fame. What we got up next? Similar situation with Iron Blooded Orphans and Show by Rock. Kaito Joker, full season. I've got to finish watching Joker third season. I think I'm about halfway through. Then I think on October the 4th we've got Gakuin Handsome.
This could be very good or just bad.
We'll give it a look.
Apparently it's shorts, so
that might be in its favor. Yes. So it's like a fan made like a bad looking
dating sim.
I don't know whether it came before those like MS Paint parodies that people would do on Nico Video.
Right.
Where the designs would look very similar to this, where it's like somebody's attempt to draw Shinji's face. He's left him with a very long face and the features not quite in the positions they should be. Which is kind of what these guys look like.
Yeah. Oh, it's in the trailer that they have very basic, like, image morphing to make them look like they're dancing.
Like, if it uses the bad animation to its fullest effect, it could be quite fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully, it's kind of one of those things that isn't one of those things where it's okay for us to do a bad job on this because it's supposed to be bad. You know, it's a whole different thing where it's like, no, we're trying to, like, you know, erect this kind of, I guess, artifice of being bad. It isn't this actually bad? It's just kind of this device we're using.
And it's not going to have the Ninja Slayer problem of people looking at the promotional image and going, wow, looks like a cool anime. I'm going to go in and watch that. And hang on, what are they giving me? Whereas you look at this picture,
you know exactly what you're getting.
Yes.
Sure.
You're going to say, why are they so ugly? I'm not going to watch that. Or you'll say, why are they so ugly? I need to find out why they're so ugly. What are they doing with this crazy looking show?
Is that guy's Pam up or Pam down? I can't tell.
if it gets you with the, if it looks too ugly for you and you can't watch it, you might still enjoy it. But if it gets the people who think it looks like it's dumb and might be fun, then that's exactly what it's kind of going for. Yeah. It could be a hard line of comedy to straddle, like you said, Niall, but, if it can get it done well, it could be pretty fun.
That's October 4th. Also October the 4th in the gag realm, Nobunaga no Shinobi. I guess that will translate as Nobunaga's Shinobi.
We just leave out the middle bit.
About
Nobunaga's ninja.
It becomes a ninja.
For deliberation there. I don't know.
It's Akitaro Daiichi.
I think she fancies Nobunaga or something is the difference. I'm not entirely sure what's going on in the narration.
Apparently, he saved her from drowning in a river, and then she wanted to serve him. 5 years later, she heads out from a ninja village determined to serve him.
Mm.
Of course, the question is probably whether he wants her to serve her or not.
Yeah.
But it's Akitaro Daiichi doing a gag show, so 100% there.
Okay.
No questions asked.
Give it a go. Hopefully it's more deepest in Rostar 1 than 2.
I see, I quite like 2. One's better than 2, yes, but there's a certain appeal to 2, I think. They're weirdly not so much his half of the episodes, but, he's doing a thing on his YouTube channel, which appears to just be him madly scribbling.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that one.
Orineko, I'm a cat.
Yes.
It's an acquired taste, I would say. Probably just for Akitaro Daiichi hardcore fans already. Because various bits of it rely on knowing some of his visual go-tos. And TQ Season 8, I think I've got to catch up with probably Season 6 and 7 first.
Have you got an hour and a half to do that in, Brian? Who has that kind of time these days?
That's on October the 5th. Scroll down my list. I think, I'm not sure about this. To be hero. About a no good dad.
Oh, he becomes fat or something.
He becomes a superhero.
Yeah.
He gets sucked into a toilet, apparently.
He's good at cleaning toilets. I'm like, nothing of the description made me go, wow, this sounds like it's...
No, but it's a short, so. Mm, if it shows up, I shall probably check it out.
Okay.
I have a hunch this might go too far down the side of ugly people are funny, right?
Could well be, yes.
Yeah.
Talking of Orineko, which does that every episode.
Yes, it does every 10 seconds.
next up, Flip Flappers. October the 6th, this is a magical girl show. The reason I've stuck it on the list is it is by Kiyotaka Oshiyama, who worked on Space Dandy. And it looks quite colourful and visually inventive.
Yeah, he was an animation guy, wasn't he?
I think he directed one episode as well.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he worked on a bunch of episodes. I think he did the Big Fish episode in Season 2.
Yeah, I think he was the chief director. I would know him from Fullmetal Alchemist, Sega Star of Milos as well, which had some quite nice set pieces in that animation-wise.
Yeah.
Yeah, the plot of it doesn't really interest me, or doesn't really catch my attention, I suppose. But the look of the trailer, yeah, it looked like it might have some good-looking stuff going on there.
Next on the list, same day, October the 6th, Yuri on Ice.
Hmm.
Ice skating anime. The main interest is it's been directed by, oh, directed and written by Seo Yamamoto.
It's animated at MAPPA. You got Junichi Suwabe in one of the leading roles again. So, it'd be like, sticking with him. As being probably put upon kind of cool dude voice for another show. Presuming it's, something we want to stick with, it is.
Hmm. Yeah, they seem to have some really good, it doesn't look quite rotoscoped because there was a kind of a style to it, but they seem to have the skating down. So I'm kind of curious to, because that's not something you get to see animated that much. That alone kind of has my interest.
Mm. Well, I think the bar was set by the backstretch of Death Parade, which involved the characters being, you know, an ice skater in her former life. And they had some good ice skating animation in there. So that's kind of what they got to surpass or at least meet for this show.
I think it's co-created with Mitsuro Kubo, the manga artist.
Yep. I think like, from the description and the subject matter, it shouldn't seem like it could be our kind of thing. But just from the pedigree of talent involved, I think it is exactly our kind of thing. Yes. So we'll see whether those two things meet up and make some magic together.
Yeah. There's a couple of things which I think there's one thing which looks more obviously people think will be the next three, but I think Yuri on Ice may be the thing.
More likely because, you know, prettier kind of. Well, not only a prettier sport, but like a prettier, guy is going around as well. Yes. Yeah.
Wearing tight ice skating outfits.
I don't think that's what they're going for in the show based off the trailer, but yeah, sure.
People are definitely going to pick up on that. Fan service, but I think for the story, it's probably going to attract more people. Bungo Stray Dog, second season, October the 6th. Obviously, we were going to be watching that.
Yeah. I mean, they'd have to fuck up really bad to put us off at this stage.
Jim. American author mafia in town.
And English authors. Isn't it? Yeah, because
the West coming in,
in there as well. Yeah, it's Western authors, yes.
Western. Why did that toss off the American side of it?
Yeah.
Got like, what, who we got here? We got F. Scott Fitzgerald, Mark Twain, Lovecraft's in there.
Okay, this is the American side, yes. Because there's like three. Yeah, we'll get to it, won't we, in the story.
Mm.
Yeah. Then we've got the thing I don't think we'll be watching, the swimming pool butt fighting show.
Oh, Keijo, isn't it?
Keijo, yes.
Keijo, like a billion exclamation marks.
I didn't write it down, but as we're talking about things which look like free, we look at the
I had to see it when I read the fucking synopsis. I was like, really? They're actually, like, that's not even subtle.
Because you look at the image, you think, oh, someone's trying to do, like, a fan service-y version of Free with
that makes women. Total sense, but with women, yeah.
But then when you read the actual description of it, you go, oh,
whoa. Nope. Right, so, Niall, there's like I forget what the name of the sport is, but it's like a thing, and I feel like it's like mostly women who play it, but you can only hit each other with like pillows, but you can like hold a pillow up to someone and then punch the fucking pillow kind of thing. Right, so it's like that, but you can only use titses and asses.
Uh-huh.
And you have to knock them into the pool, on this, like, gladiator type fucking situation. I don't know, dude.
I think the exhibition match is, you know, that's a level of, like, outrage that anybody who comes across this is going to, like, exclaim the name of this. It's going to go, Keijo!
Well, see, the reason I came across it is because I was starting to write the end of year quiz for Dynamite of the Brain. I was going to redo that round where I described the things described as ecchi on my anime list, but there's so few this year. And then that came up. And even the ones with marks actually haven't got really descriptions which sound perverted. And then I got to that one. It's like, oh, and that's coming quite soon. That's not the free thing I thought it was.
It's a dying art form.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Quite clearly.
I'm amused that the concept of it amuses me a little. But yeah, I don't think that's going to be one we're checking out.
October the 7th, All Out.
Boom!
The rugby anime from the writer of Free.
Yeah, this is gonna be a sport that I really like. We'll see. I've all of the kind of the know, boys, very, very handsome boys swimming and all that, you know, but I heard from all the accounts that Free was at its core a very well, nicely written show as well. I saw that too. And if it can be different the same, but about maybe an activity or sport that I am quite a vested interest in, I think I'll be all over this thing. I'll be all over, all out.
Whereas I'm a man who has frequently said, nobody cares about rugby.
Oh, dude, rugby's one of the, rugby's probably, I'm not really into my sports, but it's one of my favorite sports to watch. It's kind of, a satisfying one. I still don't understand the fucking rules entirely, but.
Well, thankfully, we've got a show, like, coming out, like, All Out. It's kind of probably going to explain the rules to you, the basic activities of the game, bit by bit.
If we can
so anybody
can
understand.
If you can explain it to me the same way, like, explained American football, we'll be fucking sorted.
It's from the guy directed Parasite.
Yeah.
And Avengers Confidential.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, that's the only thing.
That could be the flying ointment.
Yeah,
because it seems like it might be fun other than that.
I mean, neither of those are appallingly directed. They just maybe won't live up to expectations people have for this.
I think as regards Parasite, was that an issue with the direction or an issue with the source material?
It's an issue with the direction. Well, probably not even direction. It's probably an issue
with the adaptation.
I didn't get far enough to see whether it really went off the boil, but once they skipped the chapter where it was from a lion's point of view, I was
no way,
not on board. Probably going to check out Nanbaka. I mean, it looks very annoying from the trailer, but at the same time,
The one that has the most sparkle dog looking motherfucking cast you've ever seen?
Yes, and they're in prison.
Yeah.
It's kind of the things where it's like, it looks really annoying, but it might be really well animated, so I should probably watch it.
Yeah. It depends if they're kind of playing off that as well, though. Is it trying to subvert the tropes, or is it exactly the fucking trope?
I saw the character designs for the majority of the cast, and I kind of think I better walk it away from this. This is not going to.
That's understandable
for me. I think.
Then we got Miss Bernard Said, which once I realized it was a short, I realized I'd probably be checking it out.
It's the Oyster and Marshmallow director as well.
It is, yeah. That was the other thing which attracted me. So it's about a girl who pretends that she knows lots about books, but she hasn't actually read them.
So you too can learn about words with literature, such as the Bible.
And the Great Passage, more of which confused me when I was looking at this list before.
Right.
There's another show called The Great Passage further down the list. Then on October the 7th, we've also got Drifters. So imagine JoJo's and Drifters on the same day each week.
Oh. with a former director of JoJo's and Drifters.
Yes. So this is based on the manga by, what's his first name? Hirano?
Kota Hirano.
Yeah. Basically kind of a bit like the Riverworld books, where you've got all these historical figures have found themselves in this other world, possibly after death. And they're fighting on various sides in a war.
That certainly looked good.
Mm.
Was there an OVA of this? Because I haven't seen that. But
there was, I think, something like a short thing put together. It's kind of like a proof of concept.
Yeah, exactly. That kind of thing. Yeah. I was just wondering if you'd seen it at all.
Yeah. A lot of the other staff in this worked on the Helsing Ultimate OAV adaptations of the comic. That makes a lot of sense
from the color palette from this.
Yeah. But again, it's the same. Same author, the same source material, so this is something I will be pitting my colors to. I'm confident that the director, he'll be able to spin straw into gold. He's done so before with JoJo. I think he'll be able to do it again.
Yeah, I quite like Hideyuki Karata's writing. Not always good, but he's the read or die guy. who's the head writer that looks things on this. And he did a bunch, as you say, he did a bunch of Helsing Ultimate as well. October the 8th, we've got the thing I'm probably looking forward to the most. Classical Lloyd.
Really? That's your favorite pick?
Yeah.
Mr. Osamatsu team, man. Yeah, sign me up.
That is true, yeah.
Director of Mr. Osamatsu and the head writer of Mr. Osamatsu, Yuichi Fujita and Shu Matsubara. So as soon as I knew that, it was like, you're not getting any more Mr. Osamatsu anytime soon, but guys, you gotta watch Classical Lloyd.
My worry is that, like, it's actually gonna try and be non-subversive with it, but it seems to be gonna take in the piss.
Quite possible, because it's on AHK, so I believe it's probably gonna have some sort of educational quality to it. And also because it's on AHK, I kind of worry that it won't get picked up.
Right, yeah.
Because not everything in AHK does. Seems a little bit more hit and miss than other channels. But it seems to be like robot versions of famous composers start showing up and causing chaos.
Like, you just need to look at this the key art of cool leather jacket Beethoven and magical boy Chopin, I think it is.
Cool guy Beethoven,
Mozart,
more on the show.
Mozart.
Yeah. But, also there's a shoe bill in there. That's their weird animal of choice.
Why not?
Sure.
There was one in Polar Bear's Cafe. Wasn't he the editor of the newspaper, I believe?
There's lots of animals in Polar Bear Cafe. That doesn't count. You got to pick one weird animal.
Yeah, did you read the creator of that's going to San Diego Comic Con? So I wonder if that means somebody's picked up the comic to release.
Hmm.
Or whether she's just going.
Just going for the laugh.
Yeah.
That's possible.
Allowed to travel for.
That would be another comic I'd be willing to stick on my shelves. Because we're going to the point now, what comic is worthy of taking up space on my shelves because there is so little space? Mainly filled with One Piece volumes.
What would be saved in the Great Confederation of Mangas?
Then we've got possible checkout, at least. I probably won't like it. March comes in like a lion. I liked Honey and Clover, but that wasn't being adapted by, Akiyuki Shinbo, was it? So.
Yeah, I'd probably be indifferent about it.
You never see Honey and Clover, or not?
I've seen Honey and Clover, and I had so many abortive attempts to try and start watching that show, but I think I just sort of gave up on trying it, because I'd watch it, then leave it too long, forget where I was, and then pick up again, and then happen again, I thought, I'm never going to finish this, so I'm just going to leave it off.
And this is about a professional shogi player.
Okay.
So, you'll probably get the sports anime bump. Appears to now be existing in the world after being told constantly, sports anime won't do well in the West. Can't do sports anime in the West.
I don't know. I think the world of shogi anime has hit its peak when there was a show about the girl who gets in shogi games to try and find out who murdered her parents because of shogi.
Which shows that?
Shion something or other.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Yes. Yeah. I remember now. Don't think I'll be giving Occultic Nine a miss, been burnt too many times before.
Well, you see the semicolon of doom in there, so make you run your way.
Yeah. There's some things where it's like, that's an interesting premise from a light novel, but it is a danger.
Well, other visual novels, I think.
I thought that was from a night. Oh, my bad.
I think I'm right. They're visual novels. Oh, that was a light novel, though, doesn't it? So maybe it's a light novel spin-off of a visual
novel. A visual novel.
Yeah.
That's just like a photocopy of a photocopy. It's just been shit. It's like, a cassette tape recording of a CD.
Obviously, Anthony will be watching the third season of Haikyuu. That's his favourite show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the basketball one, yeah?
Volleyball.
Sorry, why do I keep thinking it's basketball? It must be because the main guy's ginger or something.
Could well be, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Bleach is about basketball as well. As we all know.
God damn it.
Rurouni Kenshin is about basketball.
Oh, dear.
I'm pretty sure there's some sort of parody comic in there of various characters playing basketball who shouldn't be, purely based on their hair colour. No, Aging Series 2, I think, give that a miss. I think the last thing on my list I've got is The Great Passage, which starts October 14th on Amazon Prime, I would guess, because it's a Noitamina show. Mm. And this is in the exciting world of dictionary compilation.
Now, the subject matter and some of the character designs and there, it's just like it could be incredibly dry.
It could well be. Who is doing the directing and who is doing the writing? This is the telling thing, I think. It is the director of...
Nope, I think.
What we got here? Shonen Hollywood. I don't really know anything they've directed.
Just, yeah, I didn't...
And it is written by the writer of Code E, who also directed Armitage, the third Polymatrix. Yeah, so, Near Under Seven. Scripted. Yeah, I suspect this won't be very good. But I may check it out, because it's on Amazon Prime. Having said that, I didn't check out Battery, and that's on Amazon Prime, so... But it was hard to find it because it wasn't listed under anime. God damn you, Amazon. Tag things properly.
Psychological thriller.
It's like for quite a while they had Edge of Tomorrow tagged only as military. Not action, not science fiction, just under military.
Hmm. Wouldn't Tom Cruise be a tag on that? No.
Not under genre tags, no. But finding things on Amazon. Prime Video. Absolute nightmare. I think, is there anything else we missed? I missed running down.
There was a, what was that one about the, it's another one about yokai and stuff. Natsume something something.
Oh, I thought umpteenth season of, whatchamacallit.
Natsume's Book
of Friends. That's a Book of Friends. And I also noticed as well, there is in the same season a knockoff of Natsume Book of Friends called Young Kid Taro and His Yokai Picture Diary. trying to go for the same audience. So I think only one of them is going to win. I'll let you guess which one it's going to be.
Hey, I hear yokai call at the moment. I'm sure some producer somewhere said.
Yeah, Ushio and Tora. He's the one blew it up there.
And then, of course, we got weirdly got in the cinema, they're getting Mobile Police Pack Labor Reboot, which is an Animator Expo short, a bonus one.
Hmm.
From the guy who did Patima Inverted. I don't know whether this is the actual start of something new or just a one off of the Animator Expo.
This seems pretty. I don't know. If they were happy with how the live action Pat Labor things went down.
Yeah, because they were like a weird live action sequel to the anime, because Shigeru Chiba was playing the same character he played in the anime, but now as an old man, because he's now an old man.
What?
Well, I've only ever seen episode zero of that live action Pat Labor, which was entirely designed to appeal to people who missed Pat Labor, because it was just Shigeru Chiba reminiscing about Pat Labor.
Okay.
So, what do you think? Shaping up, I think there's a lot of things to watch. A lot of things potentially we're going to be watching each week if they're streaming somewhere.
Like, yeah. The amount of things we're interested in is kind of like, it's at that dangerous number. I'm like, oh God, I hope we're not really into all of these shows. I hope we drop some of them. That's a good place to be. That'd be like, too much.
I mean, some of them are going to have to be dropped purely for time.
Yeah.
Because some of them are dropping on, so many are dropping on Thursdays, I think. And we're running these problems before where it's like, I only really watch one of you guys in order to be able to podcast about it the following day.
It might be like competing for days. Yeah. Fuck.
But no, the things I'm really hyped about are Bungo Stray Dogs, Classicaloid, Drifters, Nobunaga Shinobi,
Tiger Mask.
Tiger Mask and Time Bokken.
Just those, though.
Just those, yes. Those are the ones I'm really hyped about.
On top of JoJo and Dragon Ball Super will be ongoing as well.
Yes. And Shonen Ashibo probably as well.
Oh yeah, actually as well.
Then and Bono, we've got all the Bonos to catch up on.
more fuel for the fire.
And of course, Haybot.
Oh yeah, we'll be watching Haybot every week.
What's Haybot?
Niall has successfully self-hypnotized us. To remove himself of that traumatic experience. But really,
say
guys,
Naybot to Haybot this season, kids.
I don't know though. I kind of think you should watch the first episode of Haybot. So we didn't suffer alone.
just to, you know, by contrast, show just how many things are pure and good in this world.
It's not true. Like, okay, here's the thing about Haybot. Final thing for this podcast. It's not so bad it's good, but it's not so bad that it's not an interesting thing to watch. It is so bad that you almost have to watch it to see how bad it is.
Admittedly, right, I've been lacking sleep lately, but I was drifting during this high fucking energy, like constant jokes, like farts and everything like that sticking out. And I was just like, I shouldn't be drifting during this. I should be more annoyed, but I was kind of annoyed that I was just finding myself
asleep. You were watching it in the middle of the night, though.
I stay up very late.
Well, I see you were drifting off because it's so high energy that it's just draining the life out of you.
That could have been it as well, sure. Yeah.
It's the world's first actual vampire show.
You all tell us bloody for us, and actually it was hip.
Anyway, that is this season's episode of Let's Go. Be back next season to hang with the Let's Go gang, and in the meantime, check out our regular podcasts at secretofthesailormadness.blogspot.com, dynamiteinthebrain.com, and of course, the other podcast we do with Let's Go in the title, Let's Go JoJo! Goodbye!
Regular.
Bye. Ta-ta!